Hello there, this is episode 29 of the Van Hemlock Podcast. Evil.
Everybody, and welcome to what promises to be our most cheerful show to date.
Yep, we're tackling one of the greater moral issues of our age and of our species through the medium of online computer games.
Is this a good idea?
What could possibly go wrong?
Yes, as is often the case, Richard Bartle has said something and the internet's taken offence.
It all went a bit crazy. This was off the back of the fabulously anticipated and successful Wrath of the Lich King expansion for World of Warcraft.
Best-selling PC game ever.
Apparently so, yes, well done there. But a bit of closer inspection by the learned doctor there has turned up something a bit nasty in the Death Knight questline. For those who do live under rocks, Death Knights are quite evil, apparently. Quite bad creatures who are seduced by the Lich King's influence himself and...
Boo hiss,
yes. And go all black and spiky and start stomping around, causing all sorts of mischief. And one of the options of the new game is to create a brand new character at level 55 who is one of these Death Knights. Now, we're sort of winging it a bit here because neither of us has played it, but anecdotally we're learning that the Death Knight has its own little story... As a sort of introductory set of quests.
And from what I've heard, it's quite good.
Apparently well written, apparently interesting. But occasionally, well, you know, being a stompy warrior of evil and all that, you occasionally have to do quite nasty things. And one particular quest in the line came up and rose Dr. Bartle's hackles a little bit and caused all sorts of outrage and counter-outrage and counter-counter-outrage, and We're having a quick look at that. This is to do with a particular quest in line. Okay, a little bit of a spoiler alert here, I suppose, but it's the sort of thing you'll come up against and pass straight on through very, very quickly as a Death Knight, I imagine. So, but it's a particular quest called the Art of Persuasion. I have no idea what the context is, but both Horde and Alliance players who are also Death Knights and starting these new characters are, for some reason, which we probably wouldn't tell you even if we knew, have to try and interrogate some captured prisoners to get some information to further the evil machinations of whatever the hell it is the Death Knights are doing at that point in their plot.
Probably evil.
Probably evil, yes. And this you're basically given a kind of cattle prod and have to go over to a bunch of prisoners and keep poking them with it until they give up the goods. Which, I suppose, done in a humorous enough fashion, is probably quite light-hearted and entertaining, but it does underlie certain sort of deeper issues about story design, about gaming experiences. As I believe it, Dr. Bartle's problems with the torture quest is that it didn't seem optional. In order to progress your Death Knight story, you have to actually take part in this. There is no, I'm not going to do this, or this is against my religious objections and all the rest of it. And while it can be argued that at that point you are a Death Knight, and I believe under the thrall of the Lich King at that point in your life, it seems to sort of run counter to the general good-natured fun and games of the rest of the game to that point.
Of course, it turns out that the quest is completely optional. Slightly taking the edge off his argument.
Yeah, but it did make me think a bit and raised a number of interesting greater issues in that what opportunities are there for evil in our MMOs, and how are they portrayed, and what do they mean?
And do we really want them?
And do we even care? So I've done my little list again with my little categories and stuff. I like that. Yeah. Okay. I've come up with three different areas here. Right. The first thing that I think probably is the most substantial in this kind of conversation is evil in game design. And we're talking here about
jumpy puzzles.
well, yes, they may
quick
be
time events.
Well, they're very, very, very annoying. Yeah. Press button not to die. Well, they're very, very annoying. I don't think they could be considered objectively and immoral in any sense.
You haven't played enough of them.
So basically, this is the very first choice you're going to have when you're designing an MMO, I guess, is do we let players be evil at all? And there are two answers to this question. And it's interesting to see how many different games have gone different ways with this.
I think there's three answers, actually.
Are there?
Yes, no, and yes, we'll make them think that they maybe are.
Yeah, right, what he said.
Anyway.
Yes. I mean, the idea... Most good stories come from conflict, and for conflict you need two sides. But whether both of those sides are necessarily objectively good and evil is very much an individual game's design choice. And we've seen many, many MMOs up to this point try either of these different strategies. Of course, World of Warcraft being the big one, despite what we opened the show with, traditionally hasn't been a game about good and evil. The Horde and the Alliance are both playable and both misunderstood. They're both open to interpretation. On the one hand, you've got the Alliance, who believe they are the champions of rightness and so on, but often do it in such a heavy-handed way, in such a persecutory manner, that and with such lack of due process in many places, that it can be argued whether they really are the good champions of the light at all. Conversely, the Horde, traditionally a race made up of orcs, zombies and minotaurs and trolls, is often mostly going about trying to make a life for themselves, trying to break free of stereotypes, trying to carve themselves a little bit of peace and quiet in the world. And so it can be argued from both sides that my side is good, and quite convincingly so. So there's this is one way to go about it, by creating objective viewpoints, by not really casting anyone as the comic book villain, but giving everyone the opportunity to be right. Other games that I've played that have done this, Planetside, another one. Again, a game about conflict. There are three sides there, so perhaps good, bad and ugly isn't quite the way to go with that. But all three of those sides have their own standpoint, their own views, and those all hold water depending on how you view them. So you have a lot of subjectivity built into it. Other games try the other system. EverQuest 1 and 2 both have character selectable choices that are notably evil. You've got the Dark Elves, the Trolls, and so on. And typically not as popular as the actually, yes, these really are good guys races. And so population balance tends to show where most people's choices lie, but I think a lot of that can be down to the attractiveness of the protagonists as well. I mean, as seen with the classic Alliance Horde imbalance before Blood Elves and Draenei went in. Lord of the Rings Online?
A game that doesn't let you be evil, everyone's good.
Yeah, they've gone with a different option of just not providing a choice at all. Everyone is on the same side notionally in that game from the word go and all the way through. Of course they've added the monster play element, which allows people to dabble with evil, but not in a meaningful long career sense.
Unless you're a spider, then you're just dabbling with being a innocent animal that gets killed.
Being hungry, yeah.
Warhammer Online?
Warhammer Online, that, yes. That's, what have they gone with there?
Well, you've got your good and your evil side, but Warhammer, of course, famously, doesn't really do good.
Yes.
Everyone in it is slightly evil. None of the races are particularly nice.
Yeah, referring back, of course, to the game book lore and the actual model role-playing game with the dice and such like. Most of the rule books there paint a very savage picture of that particular world where everyone is out to kill everyone else.
But then again, the game has had to go and take and make an artificial good and evil divide
with your two factions PvP. Yeah,
where they're pushing together various the more evil sides together and the slightly gooder sides together in a strange way, possibly. But
yeah,
but they do actually have an incredibly evil race, which is
chaos.
Apart
sorry,
no, they're not particularly evil, they're just sort of nasty. But the Dark Elves, the Naughty Elves, they are into slavery and whatnot, and the plots and the missions are all very clear about this. So they've actually gone, yes, this is an evil race.
So, great many games provide a choice of City of Heroes and Villains, of course. Yeah. Being a textbook example, these are heroes and villains. Yeah, yes. The clue's in the title. I mean, they sell their double pack as the Combined Good and Evil Edition. It even says so on the box. But we often find that in many of these games where the choice is offered, often good and evil amounts to little more than red and blue.
Yes.
Or vice versa. I mean, they become banners, they become colours, team sides, rather than anything more narratively meaningful, I suppose. So perhaps a great many people who for whom Warcraft is the first and only MMO they've ever played, and are likely to, suddenly come up against this Lich King thing, start seeing some actual, real, you know, quite implied and definitive evil added to their game, must come as quite a culture shock. And I can see the root of that in some of Dr. Bartle's comments there. I mean, there was all sorts of counter, it's just a game. But then again, I wonder sometimes, is it?
He makes a very valid point in that, where he was saying, yeah, but if it had been rape...
That
wouldn't have been accepted.
Yeah, okay, so you're poking someone with basically what amounts to a cattle prod.
Yeah.
And they're just little cartoon guys, but if you had to rape them to get the information, I'm sure there'd be an enormous outcry, and we'd see also a great deal more outrage on the internet as a result. So it's a question of what you can and can't get away with in your narrative and design. You know, before this is even before the players even get anywhere near it and start adding their own interpretations. So, yeah, let's come back to City of Villains then, because this is very much an implicit cartoon villain. Here are some bad people trying to do bad things for a living, and you get to be one. You get to play 50 levels of various types of mission where you're working for the forces of evil. And on the whole, I mean, City of Villains functionally, certainly, works very, very equivalently to City of Heroes. Often it is, you just got a red loading screen instead of a blue one. You'll be fighting the same kind of monsters. And the sort of societal aspects of the Rogue Isles largely have you just going up against the same groups of thugs and subgroups of villains that you would have been doing as a hero. It's just that you want to be more evil than them, they're in your way. So instead of going in and arresting them, you're going in and getting them out of the way of your own plans. So many, many, many of the missions in City of Villains do play out very, very similar to City of Heroes. You're notionally kidnapping people instead of rescuing them, but you still just have to go to the far end of the mission, tag them, and then run back to the door. They run out of the door when you do that, and it's implied that they're being bundled off somewhere, but they just disappear in the same way that happens with the heroes. That a friend of the show, Zozo, did a little bit of research for us and came across an interesting quest line, a story arc, as they call them, in City of Villains, and sort of pointed it out to me, and I had a quick look through. And this one is a contact called Westin Phipps, who's in the Grandville in the Grandville map. He gives out missions to level 40 to 44 characters, and a little bit of a spoiler warning coming up on City of Villains here, but it was one particular story arc that drew my attention that I was really quite sort of, I don't know, quite taken with that, and seemed very relevant to what we're talking about here. The story arc will be the first one he gives you. It's called Miss Francine the Freak Show Teacher. As we've got pages and pages printed off of the Paragon Wiki here, but it's no need to read it all out. The essential plot here is that one of the sort of villain subgroups in the Rogue Isles called the Freak Show, which are sort of basically self-enhanced circus weirdos, have all started turning over a new leaf and trying to better themselves and become good people through education. They go off to these secret schools and learn how to be better citizens and so on. And this Westin Phipps chap here really doesn't like that and wants you to go and stop it immediately. I mean, some of his other mission arcs are basically involved beating on homeless, poisoning food for the needy and all this sort of thing. He really is a nasty piece of work, but this particular mission set in particular does start to raise the twinge of uncomfortability in players. I'll skip through the basics, but here's a bit of quest text at the end of it, when you track down this Miss Francine character and bring her to evil justice. Let's read it out for you. They'll torture me, you know. As you tossed her into the rough grip of the Arachnos guards in the mini-sub, little Miss Francine Prim looked you straight in the eye and said, "They'll torture me, you know. I was only in their hands for a short while the first time, but in those hours the things they did were indescribable. This time I know that it will be worse. It will have to be. They're afraid of me. I was kind to those poor boys in the Freak Show, and their lives started to change. That's what Arachnos is afraid of. Not all of the people in the Isles are psychopaths. Many just never knew another way, and that's why they have to destroy me. It's funny, but I'm not angry at you or afraid of you. I know that's not what you wanted to hear, but it's the truth. I only feel pity for you. I feel sorry for you, you poor pathetic creature." And then at that point she gets carted away, disappears basically, and you're left with a rather uncomfortable sensation that you've done something really quite evil in a meaningful sense in an MMO. And sort of following on from that, that's on the Paragon Wiki, the Wikia Paragon thing. But the accompanying discussion page has some interesting bits on it, where some bits and pieces from a chap called Constellation, whose name we couldn't actually find out, but is one of the City of Heroes content writers, had actually posted some comments about this on the City of Heroes forums. And they would repost it onto this talk page. And it's an interesting bit here. I'll just read this one out as well. This is from Constellation. Weston Phipps is an attempt to highlight the lowest and most deplorable aspects of evil. He's not the same kind of power-mad villainy of Lord Recluse, with all its bold imagery and claims of building a new future. But Phipps is the type of small, petty, vicious, soul-crushing person vital to making larger villainies exist. Part of the reason he offends some sensibilities is because his evil is so close and personal. Writing for him was at once invigorating and draining, and very different from someone like Vernon von Grun. If Vernon's plans had succeeded, he would have killed far more people, but the delight Phipps takes in that each person's downfall or destruction makes him disturbing. Heck, after I wrote that line about the daughters, I had to spend time figuring out if I really wanted to put that in the game. And he goes on to say, a minor theme throughout COV is the different portrayals of evil, from Mudrakan's elitism and machinations to the comic book hyperactive mad science of Vernon von Grun. The pure utility of ruthlessness of Maros and Tarakos both exploit, and the alien madness that is television and the radio. Phipps has his place in this spectrum, and when I saw the thread wondering if he was too evil, I knew I'd done my job. So there's certainly a massive scope for creativity and exploration and experimentation within the expression of evil in computer games. And if you, as the chap there says, if it starts to make you squirm a bit as you're reading it, perhaps it's done its job.
It comes down to whether or not we want MMOs to be light and fluffy.
Mm.
Or we want them to have a story.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much a design choice at the very early stage, and very much a choice of who you're going to appeal to. But, of course, adding evil and adding brutality and adding guts and gore and horror to an MMO does limit your market share somewhat, and you have to start worrying about teen ratings and such like. Age of Conan, famous for its bold and brassy, we want to be an M, went with a whole huge... pantheon of beheadings and blood and guts and somewhat disturbing quest lines. I mean, I must admit, I don't remember any specific acts of genuine evil. I think most people were on the right side, but it was a very muddy set of waters indeed.
Well, I think the City of Villains thing sums it up, because most evil characters in, say, films are more caricatures of bad guys. Your average Bond villain, you don't look at thinking, oh, he's really, really nasty. He's
two-dimensional character with a nice accent and an amusing laugh.
But who wants to sink the west coast of America or something.
Yeah, and he just exists to give the hero someone to knock down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But true evil is often a very delicate and often just totally ignored aspect of MMO character and plot design because it is often quite harrowing. And do you want to really disturb your players? You know, however artistically valid the idea might be, or do you want to just basically set some pins up so that the bowling ball of heroism can knock them all over the place? So, evil can be designed into an MMO, certainly in the quest text mostly, which a lot of people will skip over. I mean, one reason that Dr. Bartle got so much ridicule over this whole, you know, raising of a flag on this torture quest is probably because most players wouldn't even read the quest dialogue at all.
Yeah.
They'd run in there, picked up the object, used object on other ground spawn, which happens to be a person-shaped one, do it enough times, go back, tick the box, get your 3 gold, 50 silver or whatever, and then away you go, on to the next one. Many people don't care. And by don't care, I don't mean don't care about torture, because obviously if that same player will go away and watch the news about some harrowing war crime, they'll probably feel quite a twinge and quite bad about it. But in the context of a game, it's such an abstract thing that it doesn't really ring any bells. It's just another little activity to get on with as you're working your way up your progression. Okay, so that's evil in game design. We've got evil in role playing, as I've written here. Evil in RP, motivations of and such like. this is more one for the people who really immerse themselves into the world, and some of these people do want to be evil. Because as said earlier, you can't have a story without some kind of conflict, and most role-playing is essentially collaborative storytelling. And you can't role-play very well off of an orc spawn. It tends not to respond too well. So often, to facilitate a story, many players will dabble with an evil character, will become a villain, and attempt to banter with the heroes and perhaps provide a bit of entertainment in doing so. So what exactly makes a player want to take that role, that evil side?
Got much better opportunities for storytelling.
Absolutely, there's a richer tapestry there. You become the enabler of the conflict that becomes the story. You get to call the shots and set up the little problems that the heroes have to try and overcome and deal with.
I think it's for the same reason that all actors want to play the bad guy.
Yes. I mean, typically you often hear that many of these big name Hollywood actors would long for a great evil role, but often they tend to get filled by the same sorts of Shakespearean cast off types compared to the lantern jawed action heroes. You get a different class of actor who ends up in the evil role, and they can often have a lot of fun making it their own. It becomes about caricature and so on, and that appeals to players of MMOs too that like role playing, I imagine. I think it's also a very experimental thing as well. You can, under the guise of role-playing and acting out a character, you can get away with mannerisms and ways of interacting with people that perhaps you wouldn't feel confident doing in a supermarket, perhaps. So there's a certain allure there, a certain attraction, I think. I've dabbled a bit myself in the past. I've always found it a bit hard work and a bit harrowing, though, because if you're doing it right, people will hate you, and that's quite quite hard work to deal with from a meta perspective. You know, you start thinking, oh, well, all my friends are suddenly calling me names and things.
Well, how do you tell the difference between somebody who's role-playing evil and somebody who's just nasty?
Well, yes. I mean, typically it's rounded brackets for OOC comments will get you so far, but with the medium of text, you don't get tone of voice, you don't get to the emotion behind it, so it becomes very much you are what you type, and if people are playing out a role that's quite dastardly or even indeed genuinely quite disturbing and evil, often that can it becomes very easy to reach the conclusion that they're like that in real life too, and start to wonder and worry. So because it's a very difficult thing to role play evil well and consistently, I think, because it becomes very, very draining. I mean, even in single-player games, I was talking last show about having a quick go at Fallout 3 as an evil character, and I was finding it just genuinely hard work.
Well, there was a point in Fallout 3, after all of the Bartle discussions about torture, I thought, yeah, and yet I'm using landmines quite recklessly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, something which I think is should be banned and is not very nice. Mm-hmm. And yet I was using them so... admittedly, I was going around after each fight collecting them again because they were quite valuable.
Yeah.
But your out-of-game morals and your in-game morals don't always cross that often.
And it's very easy to just keep repeating to yourself, it's only a game, it's only a game. But how convincingly you can maintain that depends on the quality of the evil opportunities within the game and how far you're willing to explore down that path of your own dark psyche, I suppose. But the role-playing evil is a time-honoured tradition, and often people would argue necessary if there is to be story at all. There needs to be an antagonist if there's going to be a protagonist. And I think it's healthy and vital that people do volunteer for that role, but it becomes a very difficult thing and draining, and sometimes even possible to lose parts of yourself within that. I'd say back in the day, back when I still cared, I was a bit of a role player in EverQuest 1, and I rolled up one of my alt slots was the obligatory dark elf moustache twirling villain, and I had some good times with it. I came up with a massively elaborate plot. I think it involved biological weapons or something. It was all quite quite involved, and
anything to avoid actually playing.
Anything to avoid the actual grind, yeah. Perhaps too elaborate, to be honest, in retrospect, considering it was generally lost on most of the people around me. But I had a great time writing the story of it all, but when it came to actually being in world and sort of staging encounters with other people who I knew might be receptive to the ongoing story, it became quite difficult, because you suddenly have to don this mask of uncaring, this mask of of evil, I suppose, in a way. So I have a lot of admiration for anyone who can maintain an evil persona for a great length of time, and also worry about them a bit too. Actually, speaking of EverQuest, I do remember way back when in the EverQuest days there was a massive old furore about some dark elf role playing, essentially some evil role playing. I can't even remember the names of anyone involved now. It was a very long time ago, but there was a noted dark elf role player type who did a lot of message boards, well, website based stories. They wrote stories about their little dark elf and so on, about the evil things they got up to, and some of it got very, very close to the knuckle indeed. There was I can't even remember the context. I think it was involving miners. Say no more, basically. But word gotten out about this site, probably because I believe the writing was of quite a high quality, just regardless of what the subject matter was like. And word got back to the Sony team, and this prominent role playing story writer got banned. Just on the basis of some website slash fiction, essentially, that was considered somewhat distasteful against the shiny sort of plastic happy image that EverQuest was trying to project under its vision at the time. And yet you wonder, because this is you read about the dark elves in EverQuest, and they are a horrifically nasty race. They're evil to the core, and this was put in by the people who designed the game. So you have to wonder when people take what's already there and go that little step further with it, and suddenly it becomes far too beyond the pale, a bit too much.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You're always contrasting it against the acceptable norms of society. When it moves into something which is incredibly distasteful and illegal in real life, beyond murder, because these games trivialise that to the max.
Yeah.
Then people are going to react like the torture reaction or the story reaction. Yes, these are things that an awful lot of people consider to be incredibly wrong.
I think playing evil is about experimenting with where exactly the line is, and it becomes very easy to cross it without realising, and so on. And this can get people into trouble. It can cause bad publicity, I suppose, if ignorant soccer mum types pick up on bad context BBC News headlines and so on, then suddenly you end up with a massive indignant outrage purely because a number of your players were playing along with the backstory and lore that you gave them in the first place. And it becomes very difficult. Also, cultural issues tend to come into the argument as well. You know, the classic and much quoted attitude of Europeans to sex compared to Americans. Yeah, in America, you can't show nipples in a game that's going to be in Australia, I think. I don't know.
You can't show a lot in a game which is going to be shown in Australia.
Yeah.
Australia's really quite strict.
And the ES, and of course the bottom line of the financial implications of the ESRB ratings and so on. I mean, I believe, is it Walmart just will not stock games that have an M rating or an AO rating?
I believe that's true.
It could be AO rather than M, but regardless, pretty much every game developer aims for the T rating because that's the one they know will get through. So it becomes a very sort of fine line and balancing act about what depths of evil your evil races can be allowed to get to. Yeah, these are races who avatars will not be able to strip naked, but are quite happy sort of massively slaughtering their way through this, that, and the other. It all becomes about comparative morality and such like. What is evil and what's more evil than something else in this particular audience demographic. So, also I've got down here, evil in PvP.
That's the big one.
Yeah, here we go. The classic I'm role-playing a serial killer defence. I spent a lot of time on Ralos Zek, and some astute listeners may have picked up on the slight scarring this has lent me.
I'd completely missed that.
Yeah, I'm not bitter at all. But I went into it all very naive. I've assumed, because I started on a normal server and lasted about 8 weeks and I got a bit bored. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if other players could be evil and I could fight them? That would be awesome.
Yes.
Yes, and this is the classic difference between a youngster's interpretation of what evil is, which is essentially the Dick Dastardly character who basically exists to come up with a massively elaborate plot that's going to fail with just a slight nudge from any kind of passing hero, and do it all in a very, very comical fashion. And then the evil that is I don't know, Fred West or Charles Manson or whatever, basically dark, dark inner souls that completely disregard society's conventions. And Ralph Sec, back in the day, was an absolute free-for-all server. I believe there was a 4-level gank limit, but that just meant that passing high levels couldn't jump on you, but the people who were already meant to be in that zone with you were all potential enemies and all potential villains. But then it never came down to a classic sense of villain and hero. It was just savage anarchy. People would jump on other people just for the hell of it, or just to get some of their loot.
And everyone else was a potential target, that's all.
Absolutely, and this is where I learnt perhaps what true evil really is, and that's sort of the savagery that doesn't laugh and twirl a moustache, you know, just without reason or warning or even often even provocation will attack and kill and steal and destroy. But then I sort of went through another sort of revelation many years after, probably after the therapy, after I finished playing there, and I started to realise that perhaps they were all just playing it properly. That's what the game rules set allowed. And there was no evil there at all. It was my own in sort of weird notions of honour that crippled me and made me not enjoy the game at all. I shouldn't have been there, and that's fine. And I sort of understand that it's full-on free-for-all PvP. If that's the rule set, then that's the rules. That's what people are going to do.
Just out of interest, how many years did you last there?
Two, and I don't know why I didn't leave. I think possibly beaten housewife syndrome toward the end, but there you go. So when you have free-for-all PvP systems, the whole notions of evil and good tend to break down greatly, because it, a large extent, does become about the metagame, and you're not wrong by just jumping on anyone you think you might stand a chance of beating, because it is a rule set that promotes and allows free-for-all fighting.
Oh, but that's no different than real life. It's only the social conventions which stop everyone.
Social conventions which in a free-for-all world aren't there, because the developers have not put it in where they have in a PvE world.
But in a game like Eve, they've evolved on their own.
Yes. Well, yeah. You see, the free-for-all system works well if you have tribes and you have effectively police springing up out of the player base. And that's, I think, the general intention. And very early MMOs, I think Ultima Online, before the big split, EverQuest of Alos Zerg, EVE Online is another good example, yeah. They're basically worlds where the gods, as it were, the developers, have just not imposed any kind of arbitrary rule system or politics or anything. They've just provided a world, a physical location, and let the players get on with it. And I suppose the intention, or perhaps the... I suppose the intention is that groups of players will band together for mutual security, carve up the world into territorial areas. You'll have tribes form, then nations, and then
you need to have a reason
and armies.
You need to have a reason to work together, though. Something like Ultima never really did, but Eve, of course, you've got territory to defend because it makes you money, and so therefore you've got reasons to band together. So that these social conventions can develop.
Yeah, and also, well, this the death thing, isn't it? Ultimately, I think most people in real life don't want to die to the point where they will work together to stop any of them dying in a group.
That's rather cynical.
Well, the point being is that in an MMO, it doesn't generally matter if you die, because you just bounce back up. There'll be some sort of penalty or hit of varying severity depending on title and locale, but in general, the death is just a damn. I lost that one. I'll get back straight back in there and have another go.
It does that.
So life becomes a great deal more cheap in an MMO.
Does that then mean that the psychological injuries, like having torture, does that make them worse than the murder one?
It's possible. A quick clean death in an MMO just is slightly annoying, and you bounce back up. But if someone's camping your corpse, which can be considered a form of torture, perhaps,
or holding your pod in a stasis web and a warp scrambler, not letting you leave from a gate camp.
Eve specific one. Basically, if someone is following you around and killing you over and over beyond that one clean death, then that can become quite psychologically scarring. But then also, it's tactically advantageous. I've often thought the only way to truly win in a PvP environment is to make your opponent leave the game, because then they won't respawn. Well, it's harsh, it's possibly evil, but...
I think it is evil. There's no possibly about it.
Fair enough. I know, I surprise myself with the depths of my darkness sometimes, but... So, perhaps, you know, despite whatever the EULA or terms and conditions say, tactically and strategically, driving someone out of the game is possibly the correct course, because it's the only way you can permanently win against someone. But then, yeah, I think the evil in PvP, it becomes quite a difficult and, I suppose, dangerous thing to start making judgments about, because with PvP, it is very, very competitive sort of gameplay, and it promotes a very kind of, I suppose, meta way of playing, because it becomes about the stats, it becomes about the tactics, and so on, and you generally don't bother yourself too much about, well, what would a dark elf do in this situation? You generally think about, right, well, I'm a wizard, I've got this, 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 and this, I need to use that, then that, then that, and then I'll kick his ass. And it becomes very out of context, and this is where the whole sort of idea of the gank and you know, stalking and all the rest of it, harassment, all these calls come out, because suddenly it isn't really a game anymore, and it isn't really a world, an RP type of thing. I'm role-playing a serial killer, you know, and that often is used to muddy the waters when you're doing no such thing. You're playing a game about points and you're winning, and people aren't approving of the way you're doing it, which causes arguments and flame fests.
It's no different than a game of Call of Duty or a Halo 3 where you're just racking up the kills.
Yeah, no one particularly imagines that they are a space trooper or an infantryman in those games. They are games. I think the problems can come from when people's interpretations of what evil should and shouldn't be tend to conflict and clash.
Well,
which was always a big problem I had in Ralos Zek. I mean, I've since learned that I was wrong, essentially, but I believed that the evil people should behave in this way, and it, at the end of the day, essentially should be defeatable and without too much effort. You know, PvE quests have taught me that evil can be beaten up and dealt with quite in short 10 to 15 minute chunks, often with no lasting repercussions.
Consider in Eve Jihad Swarm or something.
That was an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, where a bunch of people who a lot of people consider evil, the goons, went off and started killing miners in what is nominally safe space, but there being no such thing.
Yeah.
And really annoyed an awful lot of people who perhaps didn't have the support of a corp to back them up, didn't know how to look after themselves, because they never usually had to worry about roaming gangs of people trying to blow up their mining ships.
Hmm. Yeah, the goons, of course, being the Eve offshoot of the Something Awful Forums crowd, who are generally widely regarded as basically out to destroy any game they can from the inside for giggles. But perhaps that's misrepresentation.
I think they just like to sort of push on it to see how far it bends.
Yeah, yeah. And most games should be able to cope with that if they're designed well. Perhaps they are a special kind of beta tester.
Well, look what they did in Conan.
Yeah, they got the blinking city siege keeps up in about a week or something, didn't they?
They're nothing if not organised.
Yeah. And in this particular case, they organised against most of the Care Bear civilian population. Was there a particular grievance? Was there a reason they did this? Or did they just decide to see what would happen if they did?
I believe the particular grievance was they were Care Bears.
Yeah, fair enough. But then, yeah, Eve's one of those games where you lose your rights to safety the moment you log in. So even in supposed safe space, there are mechanisms. And generally the approach is that it's a retroactive punishment rather than a preemptive prohibition. In other words, you can do what you like to anyone you like, but in certain areas of space you will expect to be then killed for it by the police. Doesn't stop the act happening in the first place. And so you still have to be a bit careful if you log in at all in that game, frankly. But yeah, it caused a great deal of fuss. A great many people started crying foul and exploiting this, that and the other, when I don't imagine there was any particular exploit, just an organisation and a will to cause havoc.
It all comes down to the what is evil.
Mm.
These are just people playing how they want, within the rules. And that can't be considered evil. If it's in the rules, is that the definition of evil? Working outside the rules, do you think?
Running counter to the interests of everyone else around you? I don't know. Evil is a very subjective term, yeah.
That's just
same with good.
It's just selfishness.
Self-interest, yeah.
Counter.
Let's have a look for a website definition of evil. I think it might help. There we go. Click, click, click. So, let's see what the dictionary says. if you can't come up with any kind of coherent argument yourself, it's always good to quote a dictionary.com passage at the top of your article. We'll have a go at the same then. Okay, here we go. Then evil, adjective. Morally wrong or bad, immoral, wicked, evil deeds and evil life.
Who defines morals?
Well, exactly. Morals are subjective, immorality is subjective, so is bad. So it's, okay, harmful, injurious. And that can be objective, I suppose. That's the second definition there. Number three, characterised or accompanied by misfortune or suffering, unfortunate, disastrous, to be fallen on evil days. Due to actual or imputed bad conduct or character, marked by anger, irritability, irascibility. It goes on. There's 14 different definitions there. I think only one of which involves Satan.
Yeah, the last one.
And pretty much all of those definitions are made up of subterms, which are all also absolutely subjective. So at the end of the day, can we truly know what evil really is in an MMO?
It's just what's against what's morally the norm.
I think in general...
Which you don't get in MMOs.
Well, they have a bizarre morality of their own. It's one that generally doesn't concern itself with depopulating wildlife and subsentient creatures that may perhaps eat other people.
Well, quite often are just standing around doing nothing.
It has no problem at all with opening boxes that somebody put there for a reason and locked for a reason, opening them and taking all the money out that obviously someone was saving for something.
Yeah.
So perhaps each and every one of us that plays any MMO is evil from the point of view of the monsters.
Oh, I think that's true.
What is a monster? Oh, God, we're bogging down here. I think evil generally in the widest MMO accepted sense becomes a question of which team you play for, what side you're on, and that revolves around the conflict. And I think all evil in any MMO can be considered good from the other viewpoint.
Well, let's invoke the Kevin Smith argument here.
Okie dokie, what's that then?
The Star Wars, was everyone on the Death Star evil?
Oh, yeah,
the Death Star 2 was being manufactured at the time, and contractors on...
Probably hundreds of thousands of innocent workers on it.
You can't expect stormtroopers to know how to fit a toilet, I believe. on top of that, can you expect every person that you run across who is part of the Imperial forces in galaxies to be evil? The technicians who are running around who just so happen to be working for the current government.
Yeah, civil servants then, essentially, right?
They just happen to have weird helmets.
I'd have to see the employment contract. There may be a two-page, please read this and sign, disclaimer, in mentioning how evil the Emperor is. But
these people join up to be stormtroopers to be the police, not to be... evil, maybe.
Every conflict has two sides. Perhaps most MMOs tend to bias us somewhat to one political viewpoint and propaganda than the other.
So can it be said that any race is or side is truly evil? The orcs in Warhammer, I'd say, aren't evil.
No?
They just are.
They are. They're a force of destruction, a force of nature.
No, they're a force of orcness.
Orcness.
They just enough. Don't particularly care about anyone else.
Yeah. And I suppose the Dark Elves can be thought to have been a product of whichever evil god tore up bits of elves and turned them into Dark Elves in EverQuest. The usual very Tolkien-esque backstory to them. And yeah, even the Death Knights apparently are mostly about redemption. About breaking away from the clutches of the evil Lich King's control and forging a life for themselves. And that's the very people who started this whole argument off might turn out to be paragons of individuality and conscience after all. I'll have to play it at some point.
You have started the last expansion yet?
I know. So perhaps sort of coming back to the original Dr. Bartle's observations there's a distinct difference between evil and distasteful.
Distasteful,
I suppose, acknowledges the very subjective nature of viewing a thing and deciding it's good or bad.
Yes. Playing evil is acceptable. because that's an option.
And, of course, evil itself being open to interpretation in a great many different ways. You could just stand there cackling lots, you know, and decide that, yes, I'm evil, but do essentially the same things as everyone else who would call themselves good or don't even care.
But lots of people consider torture in a game to be distasteful, and I would hope everyone considers rape to be distasteful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the actual,
there are certain things you just do not do when you're writing quests. So perhaps this torture thing came close to the line.
For some people. Some people are pro torture.
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, no, if you take, say, 24,
that's a show
completely about torturing people.
It's about context, I suppose, yeah. You can be the good guy and millions of lives depend on getting the information. Do the ends justify the means?
No. People just lie. But then again, that's getting very political.
Well, yeah, it's quite. But then you start to subdivide. I mean, is basic killing right and wrong? Again, depending on game situation. And how far does the it's just a game, it doesn't matter aspects of it go?
That's a good question, and that gets into the whole is GTA a carjacking simulator?
I'm trying to think back to games, single-player games, perhaps, for comparison, that have you as an overtly evil person doing evil stuff, and I can only think of about three or four.
Which are?
Well, we've got Dungeon Keeper.
Again, very tongue-in-cheek.
Well, yeah, obviously the whole thing is set up as a comedy type of evil, which you have to do if it's not going to be a harrowing and nightmarish experience. But yeah, there is torture in Dungeon Keeper. You build a little torture chamber and you can convert some of the enemies into your troops by leaving them on the rack for long enough.
And you can throw some of your troops on it and they'll enjoy it.
good for discipline and morale.
That's very true, yeah. I've forgotten that Dungeon Keeper has torture in it.
There's
a full torture chamber.
Full torture chamber and everything. Dungeon Keeper 2, obviously. I suppose TIE Fighter. That was quite novel at the time. Again, you get to be the Imperials. Ooh, how dangerous, how subversive, you know. Well, essentially, it was the same game, but you're in flimsier ships.
Yeah, until you get to the top end.
I don't really recall the nature of the actual missions for TIE Fighter, though. There may possibly have been some that involved doing bad things to innocent people with your spaceship. But as I recall, a great deal of it was actually you fighting other TIE Fighters because there was some minor schism within one of the battalions.
Wasn't that one of
the
expansions?
I can't remember. Defender of the Empire, yes. Yeah, that was one where you were mostly pitted against a breakaway Imperial subfleet. But yeah, a lot of the time, I can't even remember how overtly good or bad it made me feel as I was playing through. But I did like being the opportunity to be evil, to be at least nominally evil.
Yeah.
The TIE Fighters and so on. I think mostly it was just about giving you a chance to fly the other sorts of ship. Overlord. Which I suppose essentially is Dungeon Keeper remixed.
Yeah.
You know, you're out and about in the real world, but you're essentially a similar kind of overlord type, running a whole bunch of very comical minions about. And there's a lot of cruelty to sheep in that game, but even though you are cast as an evil overlord, there is still a sort of an extra level of depth in that throughout the game it presents you with moral choices. You can do the right thing or the wrong thing, and if you keep pumping up keep doing the wrong thing, which in some cases is a little bit near the mark, you know, like butchering inhabitants of the villages that are already worshipping you, that kind of thing, you build up extra power. Now, I've yet to finish one as a full-on taking all the evil choices, but I'm wondering if that then is punished in some fashion at the very end of it all, if there are consequences to those choices, or whether it is just an extra way to power up and gain achievements or whatever. It's gone.
Games like Saints Row and Saints Row 2 put you in a slightly distasteful position where you're doing evil things.
Are the evil things required? And are there different levels of evil things?
As part of the plot.
Could you be a good gang leader? Whatever that might mean.
No, because you're going around killing everyone else to get power.
Mm-hmm. But notionally, you're killing a whole load of people who are as evil as you, in theory.
Yeah.
Is there ways to play it that are, I don't know, honourable, I suppose, that don't involve hurting civilians, this, that and the other? Only attacking people who come after you?
In theory, yeah, but you know, once you start driving, it's a little bit harder.
Yeah, Run them all over and let God sort them out. Yeah. Fair enough.
Fable, of course, gives you the option of being good
at
evil.
I mean, in general,
out in those.
In general, Molyneux's type, all of his games tend to be quite centred around these moral choices.
But they always seem to be cartoony moral choices.
I've never managed to do an evil Fable character. I assume you get all the horns and dark glow and everything.
I did one in Fable 2, and it definitely turns into a moustache-twirling villain.
Fair enough. Black and white, of course.
Yes.
Although, I mean, there are certain moral choices here and there throughout there. Do you help the villagers, or do you just get the monkey to set fire to them, which is what I did to everyone, not because of a conscious evil choice, it's just because my monkey liked setting fire to stuff.
You let your monkey too near fire, didn't you?
Yeah. he was very observant while I was setting fire to something, and that was it, really. Once he learnt it, he was off. So at that point, I had to become evil, really, just to back the monkey up. I was going that way anyway. But that tends to be more about art, just different art choices. Your temple goes all spiky and such like. And I still remember feeling quite bad about some of the things I did to some of those little villagers. Populous, I don't believe the choice. I think the whole moral choice thing came in around Black and White as a sort of adjunct to Populous.
I think
you were just pretty much, you did whatever you did, really.
Yeah.
Was it? Very elemental, uncaring god. Tabula Rasa. The now soon to be departed Tabula Rasa. I remember.
Got to get the mentions in while we can.
Absolutely, yeah.
Everyone play it. If we can get a million players in, it's going to really fox them.
Yeah, they'll be kicking themselves, and of course they'll be too proud to not kill it. Yeah. But yeah, I remember there was back in the big build up and the Garriott frenzy around, you know, while it was being developed, toward the end when they finally decided what it was actually going to be, they made quite a big thing about the moral choices that the game would be presenting you with. How they didn't want it just to be click through quest text, and how they wanted it to make meaningful storytelling and all this sort of thing. And I'm not sure how much of it I saw, really. There was often many of the particular missions had two different outcomes, and you could instead of clicking I accept, you would have two things you could click. One would be a yes, I'll help you, I'll do my duty, and the other would be a to hell with you, I want the money, or whatever.
Did this have any outcome?
No, this is the problem. It actually made no difference at all to the game. You get exactly the same reward and XP, whichever path you take.
You just might be called a silly sausage afterwards.
Yeah, well, thanks for nothing. But here's a huge pile of cash and XP anyway. Or excellent, you really saved our life. Here's a huge pile of cash and XP. So, I mean, despite the much vaunted sort of moral choices, they never really amounted to much. And essentially everyone was on the good side and with no real way of not being so. Hell, they didn't even have PvP in the conventional sense. That was always sporting dueling. But
when you're fighting for your life against your enemy aggressor, you really don't want to be fighting amongst yourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And the Bane were quite evil, I suppose. But
the expansion to add them as a playable race never came.
Yeah. Well, no, you could have hybrids. I never quite understood that. Anyway. So let's have a look at the other side then. What about good that makes people want to be good rather than evil? Is there a particular? I mean, it's generally more popular. Most people go for that aspect of it. They want to be the hero. City of Hero and Villains. I've got a very, very, very bizarre indirect method of working out the population densities on either side of that, and it's basically the auction house or black market, depending on which side you're on. Everything is so much cheaper as a villain, and it's all done by blind bidding and player demand supply and so on. So
that's probably a safe bet.
The implication, and also I think the auction houses are network wide. Everyone on all servers is competing for the same items. So it suggests that the hero side is a great deal more popular than the villains, although I couldn't say by how much. And the same with any game where there is a distinct choice implied.
Except Warhammer?
Everyone went with destruction?
I think everyone stole destruction. I was not entirely sure because...
Is that just because orcs are cool, or was it a conscious moral choice?
Orcs are cool.
Yeah, fair enough. But given the choice, most people will want to be the hero.
That's because you get to wear brighter clothes, get to feel better about yourself, and people actually thank you for doing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, coming back to my Fallout experiences, one of the main reasons in Fallout I couldn't really get anywhere with my evil characters was because all the NPCs were just so harsh to me all the time. And that seems such a stupid thing. It's a computer game. It's Why do I care what it thinks? But it's strangely enough, I do. I like to be patted on the back when I've done something heroic. You know, it's sad. I'm seeking affirmation most of my life.
And setting off big nukes in the middle of towns doesn't really appeal to you.
No. Well, I mean, obviously the firework display, but I'd rather do it in an abandoned quarry or something.
I'm going to have to do that this weekend. Do that mission as evil.
Hmm. Yeah. Also, I got a bit worried about the bobblehead that's in there. I didn't want to blow it up. So I was trying to get to it first, but you can only get in there after you've done the bomb.
Yeah, see, that's for another playthrough.
I know. Just trying to catch all
you've
the bases.
You've got to let go of your level 20 character. You've got to start again and do it.
Apparently, I've already mucked it up. Apparently, there is a bobblehead that, thanks to plot developments, I cannot now ever go and get again on that character. That's annoyed me.
Where's that?
I'm not telling. It's a spoiler.
No one cares about.
Remember, I'm good, not evil.
Yeah, right. So where is it?
No, I'm not telling you.
That is evil.
I am evil. Yeah. I'm not telling you on the show. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
So wrapping up then, I suppose. We're getting on for the hour.
I'm sort of getting close.
Mm. So I think the choice of evil is very important. There ought to be some way for people to meaningfully create conflict and create stories, if there are to be stories at all. But how that is implemented is such a delicate thing.
Well, I wonder if Lord of the Rings doesn't suffer because everyone's notionally good.
Mm, possibly. I know Tabula Rasa perhaps could have done with another faction of some sort. I mean, it didn't make much sense with the backstory, but... or humanity on the run trying to flee from the ruins of the earth. But you come to expect in most MMOs now that there to be a conflict between two sides, as well as the overland general monster scouring, because that provides you with your inn and the way to integrate any kind of PvP into the experience, which generally most games can do with, I think.
It also gives you your opportunity of presenting multiple contrasting... storylines for different races to go through.
Replayability. I mean, I think a lot of people view good and evil as just two different versions of the same game and letting play up. I mean, you once you've finished your alliance character, start again as a horde, you know, yeah, and play your way up. But
Star Wars Online.
Mm.
Swatcher.
This is interesting, actually. Yeah,
they're going to have, for each class, they're going to have a distinct story.
Mm,
and so you're going to have your Sith stories and you're going to have your good guy stories.
And one would expect the Sith storyline to be deeply affecting and probably quite harrowing, thinking about it. We've got 12 top-notch BioWare writers working on the game, and the Sith are categorically evil.
Are they, though?
Are they? Oh, don't tell me we've got Sith renegades who want... I want to change, I want to... I mean, we're talking about the Drizzt problem here again, aren't we? Yes.
Yeah.
I would expect...
Stop overdoing the...
Yes, everyone's an outcast that wants to rebel against their society.
With two swords.
Mm.
Yeah,
I would expect the Sith storyline to be pretty harrowing, frankly.
Why? When are the Sith ever quite harrowing?
Oh,
there's one moment in the third film when they...
basically,
all the Jedi start getting killed because of Order whatever.
Mm. But the Sith are evil.
Yeah, the Sith are just...
Just misunderstood and use different crystals for their lightsabers. Perhaps.
Yeah, the Sith are definitely the moustache-twiddling villains.
Well, some of them are, the ones that gravitate to the top. I mean, the chaps who just run around with red lightsabers as minions, perhaps less so, but I think the world needs moustache-twirling villains.
It's probably true. We are judging kids' films here for an example of taking...
complex moral issues, yeah.
Which is why I don't think that the Star Wars game is going to go that harsh, because it's still Star Wars. Mm. Star Wars isn't that harsh.
No, I suppose.
It touches on slavery sometimes, it touches on... Well, Empire had torture.
Mm.
But it never really gets very deep into these things.
Yeah. It's there mostly as punctuation for an evil character. Yeah. Look at me, this is how evil I am. Now we can move on and do some sword fighting, you know. And much
I'm
like
torturing Han, I don't even need to.
And it comes back to the original fuss over this Lich King quest. Sometimes you need contrast. Sometimes you need, as a storytelling device, to make things go a bit dark.
And you can't pretend torture doesn't happen. Bad guys will always torture. sometimes the good guys were tortured too and make too many series of TV shows based on this idea.
Mm.
But that can be stopped.
Hmm.
You can't ignore the fact that
bad things happen.
And if you're a bad guy, then you're going to do bad things.
Ah, so on that cheery note, I think it's time to wrap up. Remember, if you can't be good, be careful.
I still say we should have done my entirely positive episode.
Yeah. Now turn over for side two, where we do the whole show about good.
See you next week.
See you next time. Did we just decide that evil was good?